God, praise God. Psalm 61 says, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. Purpose for Godliness, Saturday morning, praise and glory. I'm talking today when my heart is overwhelmed. Amen. It's Saturday, and I don't know about you all. Hopefully, some of us get to sleep in, sleep late, whatever it is, go shopping, spend a day at the beach, or what have you. If you're in ministry, sometimes you do ministry on Saturday. For us, we're going to the park to share the love of Jesus. By the way, this is your host, Minister Daphne Smith, on Purpose for Godliness, regardless of what is going on with you today. I want to let you know that God is there with you, there for you. He desires to have a relationship with you and a conversation with you today. Thank you so much for joining me, Minister Daphne Smith, on a Saturday morning. Every weekend, I'm here at 8 a.m. to get you motivated, uplifted, give you some information, do announcements, share the love of Jesus, and most of all, let you know that God has purpose for you. Amen. Has purpose for you. So call in number 347-989-0144 every weekend at 8 a.m. Join the conversation. You can email me at purposeforgodliness@gmail.com with your prayer requests, your issues, your concerns, your comments, your suggestions, your questions, anything. Amen. You believe will help this ministry to grow. I also invite you to check me out on social media. I'm going to try to do better with some of that, but especially Facebook. I'm on Facebook. Check me out on Facebook. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, LinkedIn, Twitter. I try to keep them all linked together so I could do one post that all goes to everything. Amen. So check me out there, right? Okay. And don't forget to email me anytime, purposeforgodliness@gmail.com with your comments and your prayer requests. All right. And the link for my show, blogtalkradio.com/Daphne Smith. And I try to put the information up on Facebook early in the week so you will know. And now I have a little Skype link that I can let the people know on Skype that I'm airing. So I'm enjoying all of this, all of this. Amen, amen, amen. Let's do this, play another song. Then I'm going to have some announcements and just share with you what the Lord has placed on my heart. This is Mental Health Awareness Month. So just want to share some things with you regarding what the Bible says about our mental health. Amen. All right. So going to play another song and we'll be right back. 347-989-0144.
Come on, everybody. Put your hands together. It's got to get better. All over the world. Listen to these words. People come.
People come.
People go. Your life has been out of control. You're confused. But don't worry.
Don't worry, your soul. It will get better.
It's gotta get
better. It will get better.
It's gonna be
better. It will get better.
Cause
God is in control,
y'all.
In your heart.
better.
Saturday morning, it's got to get better. Okay, now, it's got to get better. It's got to get better. It is better right now. Things are better. I love the Lord. Can't y'all tell I love him? All right. It's going to get better. Amen. Amen. And the scripture the Lord placed on my heart today is, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, because it gets better. It really, really does. A lot of things has transpired for me this week, and I'm not talking about so much physically, but mentally and emotionally. Ooh, my Lord. Mentally and emotionally. But here, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Amen. Amen. Got to keep that down in your spirit. Come on now. This week, for the next, come on, Holy Ghost, 7 days. Keep that in your spirit. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. All right. I got to hear from my pastor, Pastor Melvin Smith, pastor and founder of Lifeline Missions Unlimited Incorporated, Works and Center, 381-386-3 East in the city of Palmdale, California. The most amazing pastor this side of glory. All right, I got to toot my own horn. All right, Pastor Smith.
Yes, how are you?
Okay.
I was trying to figure out who you was talking about.
I was talking about you.
Praise the Lord.
Share with us what God has placed on your heart this morning.
Well, actually, my mind been on feeding today. I mean,
yes.
I ever since I've been saved, well, even before we got saved, we were helping people. But
yes,
my heart's desire is to try to make things better for everybody. Now, the scripture said everybody's not going to be saved by us. We ought to give everybody the opportunity to be saved, the opportunity to be helped. You get what I'm saying? And it's not like it was when we got saved. People don't really reference the Lord like we do, because they weren't taught to. You understand what I'm saying? It's not that they don't love him. They weren't taught the things that we were taught. And if we don't give them the opportunity that we had, they'll be lacking. And we want people to be better than us. You get it?
Yes.
We're supposed to make people better than us so they can make the people that they teach and train better than them.
Yeah.
And we haven't been doing it, and we can't blame anyone but ourselves. Because if we really love things like the scriptures say, we ought to be trying to make them better. And like I said, even if they don't get saved, they can be better. They can be better people, better in their community. So much stuff is going on today because there's no reference for God. We don't acknowledge him as God, as Lord of our lives. Because once we do, we become obedient to what the scripture says, and we don't mind doing whatever he asks us to do. There's no problem doing for God if you love him. There's no problem doing for your wife or your kids or your husband if you love them. We sacrifice things for those that we love. Amen? So if we love like the scriptures say, we ought to be sacrificing our time, our knowledge, the things that we've learned to help other people. See, we can say, choose either this day who you serve all we want to. But the choices they make are for different reasons. It's not for the same reasons we made them. We made them because we were either scared or we just loved the Lord. Well, I'm just being honest. Some people did it because they feared. They feared, you know, dying and going to hell. But these folks figured they're in hell already, you know. But I'm telling you today, get your hearts, minds right. We have work to do. Kingdom work. We have to save souls. We have to feed, get people off the street that's homeless. See, if you've never been homeless, you don't really understand what people are going through. They don't trust nobody. They've been lied to, cheated. Some made their own mistakes, the reason why they're homeless. Some didn't. Most people, if you really think about it, most people are a check away from being homeless. Things are getting worse. They're not getting better. Rent is going up higher. Food and stuff is higher. Then they got to take care of family. And I'm not saying, that's the reason they're out there. I'm just saying it makes it more difficult. So we should do everything we can as believers to try to take pressure off of people, not put it on them. Amen? The only thing we're really supposed to do is Jesus Christ and him crucified. Let them know that Jesus is yet on the throne and he's yet saving. And I'm going to quit talking now because I feel the preach coming on. But God bless you, everybody, that's under the sound of my voice right now.
God bless you, God bless you. Thank you so much. Amen. Amen. And just in the way of announcements, Pastor was talking, we are going to be out at Kersen Park today at 10 a.m. every third Saturday, weather permitting, at 10 a.m. Lifeline Missions. We're at Kersen Park. And the address is 38226 10th Street East in Palmdale. And we will be feeding today, fellowshipping with the people at the park, fellowshipping with the people at the park, handing out clothes, and just sharing. I don't like to say just, and sharing the love of Jesus. Amen. Sharing the love of Jesus. So, listen, this is a great opportunity. And sometimes, you know, we're out. I'm thinking today, I said, ooh, sometimes you have a lot on your mind. And I'm saying, I need to have flyers made. And sometimes you don't have all of that. It's okay. You know, just go and just do. And wherever they go to church, wherever, you know, they land as far as, you know, going to church, it's okay. It's okay. It's really okay. So we're out there feeding and sharing the love of Jesus, telling them about the Lord and letting them know about salvation, along with some food and some clothes and some of the necessities that they need. And so it's today at 10 a.m. Listen, this is a great opportunity. I'm telling you, I have been involved in some ministries as of late that have stretched me beyond my comfort zone. It is amazing what God will do on the inside of you if you step out. So this is an opportunity to fulfill the Great Commission and to step outside your comfort zone. Amen. Today at 10 a.m. Also, mark your calendar. I want you to mark your calendars for June 4th. Three dates, June 4th, June 11th, and I'm going to tell you the other one. June 4th and June 11th, grand opening for Lifeline Missions Unlimited Incorporated Worship Center, celebrating all that God has done for us. The address is 381 386 Street East in the city of Palmdale, California. We will be praising and rejoicing and magnifying God for what he has done for us. We are going to the next level. June 4th, Pastor Anthony Richardson will be speaking. June 11th is Pastor Roderick Sutton. And Sunday afternoon, June 11th, speaker to be announced. But we are just excited about what God is doing. So come on out, celebrate with us, 38138 6th Street East in the city of Palmdale, California, June 4th, time 4 p.m., June 11th, 10 a.m., and 4 p.m. Okay? Everybody is invited. Y'all come on, pack the place out. Amen. Amen. Now, hallelujah. August 17th through the 19th, 22nd annual Virtuous Women, Mighty Men of Valor Unity Conference. It's the Unity Conference. It's the Unity Conference. Come on out. Be with us. We'll be at the Hilton Garden Inn, 1309 West Rancho Vista Boulevard in the city of Palmdale, California. We are celebrating all that God, I say this all the time, we really are celebrating all that God has done for us, 22 years. Amen. So check, as I said, we'll be at the Hilton Garden Inn, 1309 West Rancho Vista Boulevard. Registration is $60. And that includes the conference and the prayer breakfast. Our speaker will be for the prayer breakfast. He's just been our speaker for the prayer breakfast. August 19, 2017 is Prophet Robert Booker. Listen, if you have not heard this young man speak under the anointing of God, you are missing a treat. Come on out. Be with us. All during the conference, got some amazing speakers, amazing people that will be there. And listen, you really, really, really don't want to miss it. If you miss it, I believe you're going to miss a treat. I really do. So come on out. Be with us. All the information that I gave you is on our Facebook page, Lifeline Missions Facebook page, and also our event page, and you can get that. All right? So if you hook up with me on social media, you'll get all of the information. All right? God bless you. Okay, let's turn to our Bibles. Amen. I always want to share with you. I want to thank the Lord for Sister Nicole Irving. I'm going to put the seven steps that she talked about yesterday. She talked about branding. And we had a good conversation, wonderful, anointed conversation on branding, because I know people think, you know, branding is of the devil, some of us. And some of us, we just, you know, we're kind of narcissistic in it, and, you know, all the other things. But, you know, it's balanced. People got, you know, Jesus had a brand. He had a brand. Let me tell you what he did. The Bible says he went about teaching, preaching, and healing the sick. He was the Son of the Most High God. I mean, whoo, wow. And everywhere he went, they had heard of him in the cities that he had been. So it's not, and also prophesied it before, 700 years before he came, prophesied. All of these things are good that we do. The thing about it is that don't let your heart or your flesh, let me say that, don't let your flesh get so involved with that that you forget about really the number one thing that we should be doing as believers in Christ is lifting up the name of Jesus. So we had a wonderful conversation about that. So it was seven steps. I'm going to put it up on Facebook today. And so I want to give a shout out to First Lady Nicole Irving from the Renaissance Church at Renaissance Movement on Cedar and Lancaster Boulevard, and just say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. May have a surprise concerning the conference, but listen, I'm just loving what God is doing. Amen. He's doing great and mighty things. All right, so Bible. Turn with me to Psalm 61. I'm going to try to give these points, and I want to talk about something, especially since it's Mental Health Awareness Month. A lot of things that we don't discuss in the church that we should, and some of the stuff we shouldn't and we do. But a couple of things that we should discuss, even if we don't discuss it on a Sunday morning, or at least teach it at our Bible studies, or you know, have seminars or whatever. And I think mental illness is one of the things we need to discuss. You know, that and domestic abuse, sexual abuse, domestic violence, sexual abuse, mental illness, drug abuse, all of these things, pornography, all of this stuff goes on in our churches. We are sitting next to, and when you read this, it's usually the same type of statistic. One in four person is this. One in four persons have experienced domestic violence. One in four persons has experienced divorce. You know, and so, you know, somebody that you sit next to on Sunday, if it's not you, you know, somebody that we sit next to has experienced all of these things. And we don't discuss it. We don't preach it. We don't teach it. I shouldn't say we don't. I'm making general statements. For the most part, you know, according to some statistics, it's rarely taught in our churches. And it is still, listen, it's 2017. And it's still a stigma about mental illness. Come on, you all. Have we read, you know, if we really read the Bible, everybody that God used, hallelujah to God, make you shout right there. Everybody that God used had a problem. Moses, Noah, Everybody, Abraham, everybody. Come on now. See, I could preach all of that. I could spend the next 30 minutes preaching those three people about what they had. Sarah had a problem. Rachel and Leah, Jacob, all of these people had a problem. Esau, all of them. Cain and Abel, all of them had a problem. Paul, the disciples, only the only that didn't really have a problem. Everybody else that he used had some type of problem. When you read Elijah, have you read the story about Elijah after he called down fire from heaven? And then the Bible says Jezebel got after him, and he went and hid in a cave. David hid in a cave. David, with all the wonderful things God did through him, had issues with his family. He was not the best of fathers. Oh, my goodness. Come on. And so we have this stigma. I know this is my little pet peeve. Y'all pray for me. You know, we have this stigma when it comes to mental illness. So if your pastor says or happens to say that he's struggling in some area, then we feel like they're weak. Okay, but we preach these people in the Bible. We got people shouting and falling out and praying for them. These same people that we preach about have problems, had problems. Just like your pastor, just like everybody else in the church. So, the scripture says, I know, when my heart hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. Listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Then he says, for thou hast been a shelter for me, a strong tower. See, even though, you know, you may be going through. Remember this, God is a shelter for us and a strong tower for the enemy. I'm going to read. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So I will sing unto thy name forever, that I will daily perform my vows. So David says, hear my cry. And it's a psalm of David. I love this. It says three requests from David. Hear my cry, attend unto my prayer. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me. Wow. Hear my cry, attend unto my prayer, and lead me. Okay. So, and then also, prepare mercy and truth which may preserve the king. Prepare mercy and truth which will preserve the king. Wow. Prepare mercy and truth which would preserve the king. So David is praying to God. I like this in the Amplified Bible. It says, hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I will call to you when my heart is overwhelmed and weak. Because we do listen. We are without Jesus. I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. But without him, I'm nothing. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, a rock that is too high to reach without your help. And that rock is Christ Jesus. For you have been a shelter and a refuge for me, a strong tower against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge in the shelter of your wings. Let me take shelter. Psalm 91 says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We have a hiding place. And I just wanted to share this scripture with you because there are pastors, people in leadership that struggle with mental illness. And I want to read some of this article in Christian magazine, Christianity Today. I'm sorry, ChristianityToday.com, and it says, and it's 2014, but it's been updated. It says 1 in 4 pastors have struggled with mental illness. 1 in 4 pastors have struggled with mental illness. So it says, how often, question in the survey was, how often pastors speak to the church in sermons or large group messages about mental illness. So 66% said maybe once a year, or rarely, or never. Want their church to talk openly about mental illness so the topic will not be taboo. 65% agree. 59% agree. 65% agree that among family of a person with mental illness. So 65% of those people agree that it should be talked about in the church. 59% agree these are among the people with a mental illness. And especially, let me say this, and you think, like I said, you think it would get better because it's 2017. A lot of things I thought would be bypassed in 2017. Racism is one of them. Discrimination, I thought that would be done away with by this time. But it hasn't. It hasn't. We still struggle with that. So, and this is another one, you know, mental illness. You think some things would be easier to discuss, but it isn't. So here's some of the things that the article talked about. Your pastor is just as likely to experience mental illness as any other American, according to Lifeway Research Survey commissioned by Focus on the Family. Nearly 1 in 4 pastors, 23%, acknowledge they have personally struggled with mental illness, and half of those pastors said the mental illness had been diagnosed. So 1 in 4 U.S. adults, United States adults, experience mental illness in a year, in a given year, according to the National Alliance on Mental Illness. And they record or discuss the recent deaths by suicide of high-profile pastors' children, including Rick Warren's son, Matthew, Joel Hunter's son, Isaac, which has given increased attention to mental illness from pastors' pulpit. So some of them, like Pastor Rick Warren, has launched a gathering on mental health, and some other churches have pastors have publicly documented their struggles with mental illness. Here's what we know. This is a quote. Here's what we know from observation. If you reveal your struggle with mental illness as a pastor, it is going to limit your opportunities, and that's a shame. I just, you know, that's a quote. That's a shame, said the director of Lifeway Research. Quote, what happens is pastors who are struggling with mental illness tend not to say it until they are already successful. Perry Noble, a highly recognized pastor in circles, running a church of 30,000 members plus, just last year says, I have severe depression. And you know, that's, to me, that's a shame. Because pastors, you know, we're, you know, human, you know, that doesn't make us less human or superhuman, I should say. Because we're pastors or leaders in the church, we need help. The majority of pastors, 66%, still rarely or never talk about mental illness in sermons or before large groups. About 1/4 of pastors bring up mental illness several times a year. 7% say they tackle it at least once a month. Struggling lay people wish their churches dealt with the issue more. 59% of respondents with mental illness want their church to talk more about it, as do 65% of their family members. Quote, our research found people who suffer from mental illness often turn to pastors for help. That's why we need to discuss it. And I think it's not discussed because, first of all, I'm not a counselor with a degree. I am, you know, ordained minister, pastor, however you want to say it. But what I found out by, and I say this all the time on this show, what I found out is that the Spirit of the Living God, especially those things that you have been delivered from, will prompt you to learn about it so you can preach about it, and then prompt you to seek help from other areas. And sometimes pastors or leaders in the church, we don't discuss these things because we don't feel competent enough to do it. But there's so many resources now that we can go to get help. One of the things, I'm putting myself out there now, God help me, had a conversation with someone concerning our church, you know, getting some help, you know, in our church for particular things. And it's okay to ask for help. Can I say that? It's okay to ask for help. And the person that was sitting in the meeting just kind of abruptly blurted out, we don't need that kind of help because, you know, this person is broken. And kind of taken aback with that. Here's the thing. We're all broken. Because if I have to depend on you to be well before I asked you for help, or if you have to depend on me to get well before you ask me for help, then we would never be able to help one another. All of us struggle in some areas. And I believe, this is me, help me, pray for me. I believe all of us struggle with some mental illness in some areas, mental anguish. Or it would not have been in the scriptures. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Why is that in the scripture? Because we need a sound mind. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. Because condemnation is mental anguish. Why would Paul even write that I prayed three times for God to remove this? We don't know what this is. And he said, this is the answer Paul got. My grace is sufficient. Why would it be in the Bible that Jesus healed people that were possessed by demons? Why would that be in the scripture? Why is it in the scripture that Jesus says, I have been anointed to preach the gospel, to heal the sick, I'm paraphrasing, to release the captive, set the captive free? Come on. Why is it written in the Bible, the things about Elijah, the things about Abraham who pimped his wife out? Come on. All of these people, Noah, all of these people who struggled, but God still used them. Oh, bless his name. Hallelujah to God. To say us, for us to say that people cannot be used. And I'm not talking about blatant sin. Folks go out there and just sin and just do all kind of crazy stuff. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people that living upright before God and still struggle in areas. Some things that we struggle with, let me say this, some things that we struggle with, we may need to sit down and get some help before we come back. That may be what we need to do. But read the Bible. Read the scripture. So research found people who suffer from mental illness often turn to their pastors for help. And I hope I'm making some sense. I really do. Y'all help me out. But pastors need more guidance and preparation for dealing with mental health crisis. They often don't have a plan to help individuals or families affected by mental illness and miss opportunities to be the church. Or let me say this, miss opportunities to help. Key disconnects uncovered in the study. 2/3 of pastors, 68%, say their church maintains a list of local mental health resources for church members, but few families are aware those resources exist. Only 1/4 of churches, 27%, have a plan to assist families affected by mental illness, according to pastors, and only 21% of family members are aware of a plan in their church. Few churches, 14%, have a counselor skilled in mental illness on staff or trained leaders how to recognize mental illness, 13%, according to pastors. This disconnect isn't because of lack of compassion. Most pastors, 74%, say they aren't reluctant to get involved with those with acute mental illness, and nearly 60% have provided counseling to people who were later diagnosed. So, pastors can feel overwhelmed. Here we go. At times, on how to properly respond to mental health needs of members of their congregation. We are trained for spiritual struggle. That's it for the spiritual fight, not trained for mental illness. And so here's according to the article. So what we often do is we pass it off to somebody else. And we do. And it's okay to have resources. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the right. And this was on my heart, because in leadership, and I'm reading, you know, from this article, but in leadership, we get overwhelmed, and sometimes we don't have people that we don't have someone that we can talk to. So, you know, my husband's a pastor. I know there are things going on in his mind that he has not told me, and maybe he will never tell me. I'm talking about as a pastor. So, you know, you need to be able to go to someone that you could talk to and say, listen, can I say this? And be yourself. And be yourself. And be able to say stuff and say things without people looking at you funny. I'm not talking about your congregation. I'm talking about people that you could talk to. As leaders, people that you can talk to and not have the stigma. So, and can I say that again? And not have the stigma. So, you know, and I'm saying all of this, and I hope I'm making sense. We cannot, in some things that are going on in the church, even with homosexuality and all of these things that are going on, the things that are going on right now, some of these things we cannot be silent about anymore. We cannot be silent. And I want to say this too. If someone comes to us who is struggling in any area, the Bible says we that are spiritual should restore such a one. No matter, you know, people come to us that are struggling, you know, it's sort of like the HIPAA law, you know. We don't get to broadcast it out. It is our job to pray for them and send them some. You know, it's okay. Maybe we have to take them to a place. But it's okay. You know, some things we just need to do. Like Pastor says, feeding the hungry, you know what the Bible tells us to do, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, go visit folks in, you know, those that are in jail, go visit the sick. These are the things that we should do. These are the things that we are called to do. Jesus dealt with the people that had mental illness. Jesus dealt with them. He cast the devil out. And sometimes you got to pray, cast the devil out. All of that. And we, you know, we just need to do it. The silence, here back to the article, the silence at church can lead to a reluctance to share. The vast majority of my evangelical Christian patients, says Dr. Michael Lyles, have not told anybody in their church what they're going through, including their pastors, including small group leaders. In fact, 10% of 200 respondents with mental illness said they have switched churches after a church's poor response to them, and another 13% stopped going altogether and couldn't find a church they could go to. But more than half of regular churchgoers with mental illness said they have stayed where they were, and half also said that their church has been supportive. One way churches can be supportive is regular meetings between pastoral staff and the person suffering with mental illness. I remember one time, I don't even think pastor remembers this. We did that with a person that was struggling in an area. Every week we would meet with that person. Every week we would meet, and every week we would pray for them. There are times when people have come and just sat and talked. And after they got through talking, I said, well, maybe you need to find someone that is credible and get some help. And they did. And see, and it's okay. My own personal testimony, I got about 10 minutes. I had to find someone and get some help. And for a while was on medication. I had to do it. As a leader in the church, I had to do it. And I didn't tell anybody, and my husband knew, and anybody that was praying and had the spirit of discernment probably knew what I was going through. I started telling my story just recently, and I had to adjust to what may come after I told my testimony. And I don't have 30,000. We don't have 30,000 members. So, you know, it is what it is. But you have to be able to. The Bible tells us to pray for one another. Confess your faults. Pray for one another. So that we may be healed. Oh, come on now. That we may be healed. Then it says the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. So here it is. The Bible is filled with people who struggled with suicide, who were majorly depressed. I'm telling y'all need to read the Bible. The Bible is filled with people who struggled with suicide, who was majorly depressed or bipolar. David, now this is according to this article, it says David was totally bipolar. This is according to a psychologist who studied the Bible. Elijah probably was as well. They were not remembered for those things. They were remembered for their faith in God. Oh, my goodness. They were remembered for their faith in God. They were remembered. Come on, saints. They were remembered for their faith in God. Wow. So, listen. It is time for us, and here's one of the things that I want to share with you. If we are not healed in some areas, it may be a deterrent for us. Elijah went and hid in the cave until God told him to come out. And Elijah hid in the cave. And the Bible says, you know, the wind came, a storm came, a wind came, but it was the still small voice of God that spoke to Elijah. And and minister to Elijah, because Elijah needed to be ministered to. He needed to be ministered to, minister to him. After that, God gave him instructions on what to do. So we need to be ministered to. We need to be ministered to. We need to be able to go somewhere and get some help. This is Mental Health Awareness Month. There are places that we can go. Our doctors. Called the mental health community. Department of Mental Health. Mental Health Alliance. There are so many places that we can go and get some help, and it's okay. Talk to your pastor. If you believe you can talk to your pastor, talk to your pastor. If you believe you have a close friend that you can talk to that will not make fun of you, people in church that you can talk to that can help you, get some help, pastors. Get some help. There are pastors that are committing suicide. There are pastors that are dying from high blood pressure, heart attacks, cancer, all kind of things. And some of these things we don't have to, because it's just stress that's building up. We don't have to. We're going to leave here, but, you know, let's try to leave here with natural causes or something. That's just me, right? Come on. We can do this. This is a difficult job as pastors. I'm going to talk about that next week. It's a difficult job as pastors and as leaders. And we need to be able to go somewhere and get some help. If there's a community of pastors in your city that you can go to, do that. I'm grateful. Give a shout out to the female pastors of Antelope Valley. Thank God for them. Thank God for the round table, hashtag round table. Thank God for my husband. Thank God for my sister, even my mom and dad. Thank God for the mothers. I have a wonderful mother at the church, and she was praying for me, and I just kind of fell on her shoulder. And when she got through praying for me, she said, okay, now stop that. Get up from there and do what you got to do. Went to mental health, thing yesterday, Spiritual Needs Station, and went to help out Love on Purpose, shout out. And awesome woman of God hugged me and just started speaking into my life and told me some things that I needed to go back to doing in order for me to fight this fight of faith. So, you know, when my heart is overwhelmed, when your heart is overwhelmed, hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. Listen to me, Lord. That's what he's saying. Hear my cry. Listen to me. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me. That's all you have to say is lead me. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Lord, I thank you and I praise you and magnify you. Thank you, Lord, for just for being God in our lives, for being wonderful in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your keeping power. Thank you, Lord, for your strength all day. You're an awesome God. And we're just so grateful to you, Lord, because even in the midst of our struggle, you hear our cry. And you listen to our prayer. And you attend unto us, Lord. You incline your ear unto us. Lord, lead us to a rock that is higher than I, the place that we need to go. We cannot get there without your help. We need your help. We need your help, oh God. So, Father, I thank you and I praise you. Thank you for those that are listening right now and will listen later. I pray, Lord, that something has been said through your word. Something has been said through your word that will help us as the body of Christ. And, Father, I thank you and I praise you. Heal our minds. Thank you for healing our minds and our wounded spirit, our wounded hearts. Thank you, Lord, for your healing power, for your mercy, for your grace. for your mercy endures forever. I thank you, Lord, and I praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much. I want you to remember this for the next 7 days, Psalm 61. Just verses 1 and 2. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. When my heart, from the end of the earth, will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Amen. Amen. Love you with the love of Jesus. Keep praying for me. I'm praying for you. And listen, I want you to know that you are purposed for godliness. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful weekend. Love you.
But when I hear you whisper, child, lift up your head. I remember, oh God, you're not done.